Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Linda and Dave, and this is Powerfully You. And we're starting our radio program today. And today I'll be introducing a very special guest, Dave McDowell, my husband. And he is really taking over the program, and I'm just kind of like the co-host that will pop in pretty frequently just to see how things are going. Kind of changing the format of the show a little bit. So I'm going to introduce you to the love of my life, Dave.
Good morning. This is Dave McDowell. The last time I was on this show, we were dating.
Yeah.
We are now married approximately a year and a half. So with that being said, what I want to do is Linda's kind of turning over the reins to me on this show, but she's going to be here for as my consultant, my help, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to talk real briefly about what we're going to do. We're not going to change the format much. It's still going to be, you know, spiritual topics in general. And occasionally, if I think there's a particular topic that may not even be spiritual but very helpful, we'll bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll schedule some interviews with persons I've known or know who I think could also add to our discussions. And but in general, I really want this to be, for lack of a better word, an everyman's show.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and I are not, we're not Oprah Winfrey or J.D. Jakes or any of those guys. We're just average, regular people. And so we want this show to relate to those people. Also want to encourage folks to respond, send me emails. If you have suggestions, thoughts, or topics, you know, I would love to hear about them. And we would love for you to participate in the show by calling in. Now, today's not a call-in because we're kind of, you know, in that mode. But in the future, we're going to keep our Sunday 6 p.m. show time. And that would be live, and you would be able to call in, and we'll broadcast that number. So, basically, that's my thoughts. I don't think we need to go into any more detail than that, other than, again, just want it to be very relatable to the average Joe, so to speak. So with that being said, let's introduce our topic.
Okay.
So Linda and I, because we're still relatively newlyweds, I think we're about 18 months in, maybe, something like that. I haven't actually counted the days. We're still adjusting, but we also feel like we've made some great progress in our marriage and how it works and how we blend ourselves and our families and where we're going with what we want to do. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And since I'm taking the lead here, I'll kind of start it off. When we were dating, we had three mission statements, for lack of a better word, that we kind of are still trying to follow. And the first one is, in all things, in all decisions, in everything we do, God is our first thought. And by that I mean that we pray, we seek input from the Lord as to where He wants, what He wants to do within our marriage. And then everything else comes from that. And we're still practicing that, not perfectly, but
yeah, I think we're pretty much on cue with that. We just wanted to be better term that I think we put in the description, a God-centered marriage, because I feel like that's the wellspring, kind of like to have Him as the center point of our marriage.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we both believe as individuals, the only place of contentment, and I'm just going to own that, for me as an individual, the only place where I feel content and secure is when I feel like I'm right in the center of God's will. And so we're taking that same thing and using it for our marriage as a couple. We want to be right in the center of God's will. And so that's one thing. The second goal was we really want to be an example of what a God-centered marriage is and be different in that it's not about being in church every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a particular set of rules and regulations. It's about loving. It's about sharing, not just with ourselves, but anybody who comes in our life. That's our mission. without going into great detail, you know, this is kind of sub to that, is we live these two principles. With all your heart, with all your soul, love the Lord your God. And then the second one is likened to the first one, as Jesus said, and that is to love your neighbors and yourselves. And we feel like as long as we're following those two principles, we're in good shape. So I got distracted there. But anyway, that's, you know, those are the two main things. That's what we try to strive for. And then, again, as we go out, as I go to my full-time vocation and Linda does her hospice nursing and some of her personal coaching, we're always saying this is a ministry first. We're more interested in touching people, hoping that they grow from that, that they find their own ways and methods. It's not about business. It's not about money. It's not about prestige or the next promotion. We let the Lord take care of that. If we just do what he asks us to do, which is to love people as ourselves, everything else takes care of itself. And so that's kind of an introduction. Now we'll see if we can maybe go into some kind of little details. Linda, do you have anything you want to start with?
Well, and, you know, because one of the things that we want to do and what we are trying to strive for is to empower what, you know, like I, like Joe was, I mean, like Dave was saying, the everyday person. You know, I like to say that we're empowering ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that's kind of what we're about. And so, you know, as a couple, sometimes you can be from two different lifestyles, two different ways of life, two different cultures. And Dave and I are certainly examples of that. We are an interracial couple. Not that that's even a big deal. I don't even think about it hardly anymore, I guess, because we're together. But we are an interracial couple. David, I'm more of a liberal kind of hippie kind of girl, and Dave is more conservative. And, you know, we still blend because even though we have these differences, we have so many similarities in just our thoughts. Sometimes we'll start out thinking that we're different in certain ways, but we'll keep talking and realize we're saying the same thing. So, and I think sometimes in marriages you are attracted to somebody that's opposite, but really, like the Bible says, sometimes iron sharpens iron. And I feel like that is kind of how our marriage is, and it's how marriage works, because sometimes, you know, you may be different than your spouse, but those differences expand your vision, expand your insight, and it really brings another flavor to this union. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think what we found is we're much closer than we realized in how we feel and what we think and what we desire and where we want to go and all those things. So I think maybe a couple of practical illustrations might help here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with, and this is just a simple illustration. I was raised in Southern Baptist Church, which I'm thankful for. I'm long since kind of moved away from that religious atmosphere into a more open relationship with a more personal. But in that, also, you know, in that, I've also been in the Charismatic Church, and I've also been in an Episcopal Church. So I've got, you know, I've kind of been around. It had multiple flavors, but one of the common themes in all of them is the thing that Protestants, for lack of a better word, call the laying on of hands, which means, you know, you're in church, someone needs healing, or maybe they're just struggling emotionally, and one or more people will come and place their hands on that person and pray for them and allow God through his spirit to lead that prayer or minister to that person. And that's called laying on hands. Well, Linda is a Reiki massage therapist and, you know, certified, licensed, and all that stuff. Well, the first time I heard Reiki, with my background, I thought, uh-oh, we're going off into the new age, you know, worship trees kind of thing, you know, which is, you know, I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to be open, but definitely not my thing. But then, as Linda described what she does with Reiki, which is, of course, massage is touching, putting your hands on, and that what she does is as she ministers to people through Reiki massage, she is in constant contact with God's spirit. And that spirit helps her find the issues, the knotty spots, whether they be physical or spiritual or emotional or, you know, those things. And I thought, once we talked through it, I said, well, it's no different than the laying on of hands. You're just using the word Reiki, which I associated with maybe something I wasn't comfortable with, but the way Linda does Reiki, we're on the same page.
And I probably do it a lot different than some therapists that do Reiki do it. It's because of my massage background. So I do massage because I am a licensed massage therapist also. But so I kind of do both of them. But a lot of it is, it really is the laying on of hands because I pray. It's a very prayerful, contemplative, you know, I seek Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide me through this process. And a lot of times when I'm doing a treatment on somebody, things just come up. I'll get insights about, you know, how they're feeling, where there may have be more inflammation. It's that kind of word of knowledge as I'm in this prayerful thing, what may be blocking them, why they may have pain in their knee, because maybe they're carrying a lot and it's, you know, carrying a heavy load and it's just kind of messing with everything. So, you know, I feel like, and this is none of the things that I would know myself, but when I'm in that prayerful, tapped into the Holy Spirit and asking Jesus to show me, then things just evolve and I see.
And so when she describes that, of course, I come back to, well, that is absolutely no different than a laying on of hands that I've seen and absolutely believe in. So now I'm comfortable. We've had many of those cons of, oh, you're just using a different term that for whatever reason I thought meant something different than it really is, at least the way Linda uses it, so to speak. So those are just some of the situations. We've had others that sometimes cultural.
Mm-hmm.
I am personal. I have a tendency, I'm a time freak. Linda will tell you, I'd like to think it's not a control issue, but maybe it is, in that, boy, I don't like to be late. And Linda is a little more free on her schedule, and so we're having to adjust. And, for example, now when I say, you know, we talk about on Saturday afternoon, we're going to go do something, and she says, yeah, I think at 1 o'clock, then I know it may be between 1 and 2:30. And that's okay. On the other hand, if I need it to be 1 o'clock, I say to Linda, hey, this really needs to be 1 o'clock. And she adjusts to that. So I think that's a fair adjustment.
Yeah,
and we've learned
to
live with that. I've learned to be a lot more relaxed about schedules and that, you know, unless it's a particular event where you absolutely need to be there at a certain time, that it's okay.
Well, and I've had to adjust to the time thing because I am a little bit more lax on the time. If it's something that I feel like that is scheduled and I have to be there at a certain time, then I do try to be on time for that. But if it's just like we're going to the movies, you know, that kind of thing, I think I sometimes, you know, the womanly thing gets other things done. Or, you know, with the business, sometimes I might have a client that goes over my time frame. So I try to do everything in a kind of like from this range to this range kind of thing. But it's not about how we do it, but it's as couples, you have to learn to balance each other. And then there's that thing of, you know, both of us were single for quite a long time. I know I was single for at least 10 years. I mean, I don't have it counted down to the exact science, but it was at least 10 years. And I think you were single for
14.
And so to come together and become one as a couple after you've been single and done your thing for all of these years has been, you know, kind of an adjustment for both of us too. And then you blend in your families. And some of the things I think that are positive, and trust me, we don't want to present like we're the perfect couple.
No.
We've had our little bumps along the road that we've had to talk through. But one of the things I think is just being open and honest in that communication, to really just communicate to each other the needs, the struggles, the weaknesses. What do you think?
Yeah, let me add to that, because I was, without picking on anybody in particular, but my background has been a guilt trip kind of thing, you know, where that was often put on me to feel bad because I didn't do something the way somebody wanted me to do it. Plus, I had some really good example of martyrs in my life. And so I have a tendency, you know, if I'm not careful, to go, well, fine. And then I become the martyr. And that's not good. And the only way to deal with that is for me to really be open and say, you know, this doesn't work for me. Or can we make an adjustment here? And that can be all kinds of things. It's like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, the dropping in of people. Because I've been alone for so long, and I have a tendency to be a loner, for somebody to just show up at my door and knock on it and say, hey, I'd like to hang out for the rest of the day, is a little tough for me. And that happens in our lives, and that's fine. But I've had to be able to say, okay, then I'm going out for a little while because I need to just think and be private. I hope that makes sense. Am I saying
that? And that does. And I think for me, because I just grew up in a family where family just comes, you know, hey, I'm here. How's it going? That is kind of like how I grew up. You know, family members, actually with my grandmother, because she was such a great cook, people would come from the neighborhood and just say, hey, Big Mama, what you got? She feed whoever. So that kind of like coming from two separate lifestyles like that is really different also.
And the truth is, it's been an adjustment for me because I've had to realize I'm selfish. I don't want them intruding on my Sunday afternoon, you know. I had plans to watch this movie and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So it's been a good exercise for me, a little frustrating at times, and I can't say that I've reacted properly and well every time, but I think I'm getting better. But those are things. But Linda, let's go to more of the spiritual adjustments. Let me just kind of start one in that I'm pretty much a conservative. I still like church to have some order, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And Linda is very free and open in that area. So let me just give you one example. I have been part of the Episcopal Church. I've learned about the liturgies and the sacraments that are practiced there and what they mean, and I love them. That is not Linda's thing. Linda, what's your thing?
I guess I'm, you know, just free in music. I was a Muslim for quite a long time, and so the freedom of church and where you can be expressive and, you know, that is very appealing to me. And so I love the communion with the brethren, and I love to be free to express. I love the spiritual songs and the music, and I kind of like the more contemporary songs, though. There are some older hymns and stuff that just really relate to my spirit, you know, from growing up, the songs that we sang. But, and even with the interchange with the pastor and his sermon and stuff, I just like, you know, things that are thought-provoking and not where it's this hierarchy kind of thing, but that it's almost like we have in a discussion and he's bringing thoughts for you to ponder. I kind of like that format where it's a little freer.
And so what we learned and to do, and we're still learning,
mm-hmm.
is to allow each of us, you know, to do church, for lack of a better word, our what. So to be perfectly honest, we have a church home, but it's pretty loose. we don't think anything about one to another church if there's something going on or a friend has invited us or we want somebody to go with us and we feel like that church setting would be more comfortable for them, then we'll go. So whereas I might go to, you know, the local, I'll actually go to a Catholic church because I love the liturgies and the sacraments. I love the awe and the reverence of their services because that just speaks to me. Whereas Linda might go to a Unity service,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we don't necessarily believe with each and every tenet of that denomination, but the worship's good,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking God, mm-hmm. and they're sharing spiritual insight. And I've had to learn this, go, that's okay. Just, you know, that's good. I don't have to believe everything that this particular person or persons are saying. I can pick and choose. Mm-hmm. I can take the part that I like and works for me, and I can set the other aside.
And then that was a growth process, I think. I think that's a big growth process for you. And I guess maybe even some of your friends might be like, oh, have you compromised a little? I don't think so. For me, I just believe that it's about expanding your vision and just hearing. You don't have to agree with another person, but you can hear and dialogue with other people of other thoughts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would like to take that. That's a whole nother topic that let's touch on right now, because this has been a major adjustment for me,
mm-hmm.
in that I have spiritual brothers that I they're my accountability guys. They're the ones that I want them to be pleased with how I'm doing spiritually. And I've had to adjust to that and say, yes, I do. Yes, they are important, but they're not the final say. God's the final say. And if God says, I need to make a change that they may not approve of, but yet I feel it's truly God-inspired, that I need to make that change, the good news is these are men who love me,
yeah.
who believe in me, who trust me spiritually, and they'll understand. They'll look at it and go, well, that's not the way I would go, but I trust Dave. I trust that he's walking with the Lord. But that has been a major adjustment, to not let those people whom I love and respect take the place of God, you know, and tell me what I should and shouldn't do. When it's the Lord that says, yes, Dave, you can be open. Yes, Dave, you can go to the Unity Church. You know, you're not going to get off on some weird path. You're still going to follow me, and there's good things about the Unity Church. Even though there's a lot that I don't agree with, I don't have to be ugly or mean or dogmatic, or because my relationship is personal. And I get my input and feedback from God himself. And that, I know that sounds pretty almost egotistical, but it's personal. And I trust him to keep me on the path.
And I think that's the foundation of anybody in life, is that, you know, even though I'm pretty much a lot more open or whatever, and you know, I'm open to talking to other people and dialoguing with other people of other beliefs, because I just feel like it just kind of, it's good for me and for them, because they get to see who I am, and I'm a Christian. It doesn't shake the foundation of my faith to openly dialogue with other people. And I think that comes back from my background of being a Muslim. When I converted to Christianity, the people that had the most impact in my life were not the Christians that were dogmatic, but the Christians that were open to, okay, well, tell me about how you feel about this. And they shared with me. And not only did they share with me, I think I go back to this one lady who really did never preach to me or try to convert me, but I always saw how she lived. And she preached to me, and actually is one of the reasons that I converted, because of her lifestyle. You know, she worked with me. Sometimes I see her reading the Bible. Sometimes I would see her off to herself quietly, and I know she'd be praying, and she'd tell people she prayed for them. And And sometimes I would see her off quietly, though I didn't hear her praying. I felt strongly that that's what she was doing. And she would do whatever she could for anybody. And to this day, I don't know, her name was Sarita, if she even knows how impactful she was to my life, but she was. So, you know, that's what makes me try to be open to people and live my life as Christ lived. He is my way shower, and that to me is more impactful than anything I can say or do. But be ready, because the Bible says be prepared, that if you asked me a question, that I could answer it. So even though I'm pretty broad, I call myself more of a progressive Christian, not putting anybody else, but just kind of broad in my thinking, and I know that. And even if some people are listening to this program, they may think, well, you're out there, and maybe so. But more than claiming a thing, I just feel like I have a connection with God and feels like I'm kind of going too far out there because that's the kind of person that I am. I feel like he pulls me back in, and he has done so, and I'll continue to rely on him to keep me centered.
Well, yeah, let's go there, because here's what we found is that Linda and I are, I believe, the perfect match in that way, in that I tend to be a little more conservative. I tend to be the anchor, and she tends to be kind of out there, you know, experimenting in a way. But we keep each other. She teaches me, and I've learned to be more open, to not be intimidation, not the word, to not be afraid to listen to other views and thoughts, because I am grounded. I know who God is for me. I know who Jesus is for me. I know who the Holy Spirit is. And so I don't have to be threatened or feel concerned that I'm hearing somebody else say something different. It's okay. And so she's teaching me that, and I'm doing better.
A lot better.
On the other hand, I'd be the one who goes, Linda, you know, maybe we don't really want to go down this path, you know, because
yeah.
I'm the anchor kind of deal. And we've learned to, and are learning how to make that work. But again, we're back to our first primary principle, which is God-centered. We listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
We allow him to talk to us. I think he may talk to us more than we talk to him, which is a good thing. And we trust that he's going to keep us where he wants us to be, and he's going to grow us how he wants to grow us. And we don't have to be afraid to read something written by Deepak Chopra, you know, who is a, quote, Protestant, Baptist, whatever, you know. And we can take what works for us and discard what doesn't. And we don't have to be threatened by that. And I'm not picking on Deepak Chopra. I'm just saying. I mean, it could be Joel Osteen, who's about as Protestant conservative as you get. Nope. He's not my favorite guy. He's, you know, a popular, and I have no problems listening. It's just a couple examples.
Right.
So let's get back to, so we've talked about, you know, our principles that guide us, you know. And then we've talked about cultural changes. And then we've talked about individual spiritual preferences and you know, time schedules. And, you know, all the adjustments that every couple has to deal with in some form or fashion. But I think one of the big ones is, you know, and we started this while we were dating, because I think that's what you should do, and that is, where are we going?
Yeah.
What are our, what's Linda's desires for her life? What are my desires for my life? And how do we merge those? And one of the things we've practiced and we absolutely believe is right out of the Bible, Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 3, 4, 5, I believe. You know, you may have to look. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then there's also a verse that says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And what we believe is, as long as we're putting God first, and we're sincerely asking him to tell us where he wants us to go, that he will do that.
And he does.
And he will literally give us the desires of our heart. And that means not because that I can go and say, Abba, Father, I want the latest first heard expense. Now, what's beautiful about this is that God comes to us and places his desire for us in our hearts. And now we're in tune. We want what he wants. And we're learning how that works every day. And so in that context, then I listen to what Linda wants, where Linda wants to go, where she wants, you know, where she wants to retire, what she wants to do in her work, both her primary vocation and her coaching, which is, you know, something that's going to become primary. And then she listens to my desires, where I want to work and what I want to do. And we find ways and we ask the Lord to blend those desires. And I think we're doing really good on that.
And I think that for other couples, that's important that, to me, that you, like we said, one, to have a God-centered marriage, I just feel like that makes life a lot easier because even when you want to go off on your own way, God has brought us both at different instances back to the center of what it is. To have a mission statement, I think there's nothing wrong with a family and a couple to have mission statements because it helps to set the tone of where you want to go and what you want to do. And when you kind of get off path, you can always say, does this align with our mission statement? And your mission statement can be scriptural, you know, and probably that's one of the best things for it to be, a scriptural thing, but it can be something as simple like we said, we're going to love others as unto ourselves. And that's kind of like our mission statement that brings us back to the path along with allowing God. But to be able to listen to God, to listen to your spouse, to listen to yourself. These are ways that you bring in yourself, bring your togetherness as a couple or become one.
Well, here's a perfect example. This show.
Yes.
It's absolutely perfect example. You know, Linda has been running a business by herself for 7-8 years, and now she's married to me, and fortunately what she wants to do fits with what I want to do, so it's great. But she's taking the lead, and so what I do is come along and say, where can I fit in? How can I help? And this is one place I can start doing this blog radio spot. Linda's still there. If I get stuck or don't know what to do, I'll come back to her. But that's, you know, that's just one. The other one is, and I love how God intervenes and it keeps us. Here's one example. Not too long ago, I had an opportunity to take a job in Jacksonville, Florida, which I thought was exactly what Linda wanted, Florida. But as we talked through it, she realized now that it was here, no, she didn't want to go to Florida because she has 2 daughters here. And here in the Nashville area, and she's got friends, and she's, you know, and I said, okay, well, let's adjust this dream. And thankfully, it worked out better than we could ever dream because I'm now at my dream job right here in Nashville. So God had a plan. We just had to be open, listen to it, and be willing to merge our desires. So I would love to live in Florida, but I think God wanted us here in Nashville. And Linda's desire to stay here in Nashville was part of God's influence.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm against moving anywhere if that's where God. It was just the adjustment of leaving. I thought it would be easier to leave than it was. And, you know, I'm open to if God says, hey, I want you in Florida now, I would go. I'm going to have to be, you know, you still have to go through that process of changing and leaving, and that's not always the easy process, but I'm open to where God places us.
Yeah, and here's another one that just has happened to us in the last couple of weeks, you know, is that we do have a desire, Linda and I, to be able to retire, but we believe that we're probably going to need to do some extracurricular things to make that happen financially. And so Linda's business is the perfect tool for that we can both kind of do that in our, quote, semi-retirement. And so we're talking about this and websites and setting up corporation and bookkeeping and how do we grow this and how do we grow that and how do we make this take off. And then one day this past week we said, wait a minute, It's not about the business. It's not about how many people come. It's not. It's about ministry. And as long as we keep our eyes on ministry, are we making a difference in the lives of people? Are we helping them to grow professionally, spiritually, in their relationships? That God will, the other things will come. God will bless us. He'll grow the business himself. So, again, this radio spot's fine. We're just going to put it out there. If we've got five followers, we got five followers. Mm-hmm. If we get 500, that's fine. That's God's business. And we truly believe that if we just remember it's about ministry and sharing things that make a difference in the lives of people, it'll grow according to God's plan. We don't have to stress over that. We don't have to make. And I'm a planner. You know, I want a schedule. I want a project plan. You know, and I've got to let go of that and say, nope, it's God's schedule. It's God's project. And I just need to take the next step. I don't have to know what the step is after that. And that's an adjustment for me. You know, I mean, I've been practicing it for a long years, but it's funny how the Lord just keeps taking you deeper into something y'all thought you knew. And then go, no, you know it a little bit, but I'm going to teach it to you deeper. And that is that I can trust him for the next step. And then the step after that's in his hands. I don't have to know what it is.
And that is a process of growing. Because, I mean, even for me, I feel like I'm still in the process of that. But I do feel like I feel more comfortable with it because I always wanted to plan things out. And I don't feel like it's anything wrong with planning. I'm not saying that.
No.
But ultimately, God is in control. You know, and sometimes he looks at our plans, and I think it says something like that in the scriptures. And, you know.
Well, my favorite, one of my favorite sayings is, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plan.
Tell him your plan. And then he says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So even when you plan and you think, okay, this is great. Well, his vision for you may be 10 times what you even thought of or could even imagine. So it's better to let his plan, you giving your dream and your vision and not be attached to him and let him, like the potter in the clay, just mold that into what it's. And I feel like with our business and in our relationship, we're saying, here, God, mold this into what it is you see for us.
And what's beautiful about that is I now don't have the stress. I don't have this huge burden of I've got to figure it out. All I got to do is take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning, folks. Trust us that, you know, we keep trying to take it back and we keep trying to plan, me especially, planning out what are we going to get done in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next 2 years. And the Lord, you know, just comes in and just topples all those plans and kind of pushes them aside and looks at us and goes, okay, now what are you going to do? And the answer is, Lord, what's the next step?
Yeah.
Just tell us the next step. So the next step is doing a blog radio and doing it regularly and committing to it. And then what comes from that is God's business.
Yeah.
How many people it touches, if it touches anybody. I mean, we're doing this out of obedience, out of a desire to please the Lord. I'll leave the results up to him. Now I don't have the pressure of making it work. I don't have the pressure of, oh, it has to be professional. We have to have an outline, you know, which I would do if it were left up to me. But I have to wing it and trust God. Linda loves to wing it. It's a little harder for me to wing it. But that works in our marriage. That's where we started, is even in our marriage. What's the next step, Lord? You know, do you want us to stay here in Nashville? Do you want us to move to Timbuktu? You know, we just want to be in the center of your will, where it's secure, not safe. It isn't safe.
It isn't always safe, but it is secure.
You know, advancing God's kingdom is not a safe vocation. It's not. You're going to experience stresses and problems and challenges and heartaches and victories and valleys and mountains. But I don't want to be anywhere else, because I have been other places, and none of them compare to the peace, the security, the contentment, just the feeling of I'm right with God, of being in the center of His will. I'm not going to give it up. That's a very selfish thing. You know, don't think it's noble. Don't think it's all that great spiritually. I just know I don't want anything else.
And pretty much, I mean, pretty much, that is it. It is like, I think for couples, to me, if you get this and nothing else from this program, is to put your marriage and your relationship in the center of God's will. And then, to me, things will fall into place if you both are trying to be in the center of His will.
But let's try to make that practical, because you and I both have discussed this. How many times we go to a church, we hear a sermon that gives us theory, and we don't know what to do. We walk away going, oh, that's great, I want that, but how do I get started? So here's one. Linda and I, not religiously, but very almost every day, start our day off with prayer. You know, we think that it's usually, and it's open. There's no format, you know. I mean, I have sort of a list, but that's me, of people I want to make sure I speak to God personally about. But then if we're short on time, there's some moments where I go, Lord, help us, amen.
Which to me,
you know,
is a very powerful prayer, because it's just saying, you know, Lord, we just need your help every day, every hour. And there are people that come to our heart that, you know, we will pray for whatever reason, that something came our way, a certain hardship for somebody came your way. Or, you know, a lot of times I've found lately that we're thanking God because we've come across where prayers have been answered. And I think that sometimes we can easily neglect that. I am just grateful, God, that you allowed us to pray and see the answer of that prayer, which I think is more for, even more for the people that are praying than for the person who had the answered prayer, that yes, God is hearing us, and He's in the prayer answering business, as we say.
And He's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be this highfalutin, you know, spiritual mecca desire. It can be as simple as, Lord, help me make the right decision about the car.
Yeah.
Should I sell this one? Should I buy the next one? I'm serious. And He will answer. Or He will open the door. Or He will close the door. Or I've seen Him intervene, and I knew He's intervening. And I'm going, thank you, Lord. Now I know. Well, let's talk about the job in Jacksonville. So I interviewed. We kind of had a little discussion about whether they're going on, and then God closed the door. And I honestly believe the only reason we went through that process was to learn. And it was a great learning experience. And now, you know, I realize that Linda's happy right here. She had said she'd be happy in Florida, but the truth is right now she'd rather be in Nashville. Okay, cool. We're good. Thank you, Lord, for that answer. Thank you for opening the doors to challenge us to look at what we want to do as a couple, where we want to live, and then closing it just so we had the exercise.
And for me with the growth, too, because I was ultimately, if we were going to move and Dave got that job opportunity, I was going to move. And,
right.
You know, it was just going to be the process of saying goodbye. Not goodbye forever, but goodbye to some of the people I love, because they, trust me, they would have come to Florida to visit.
Yes, they would.
So that wouldn't have been an issue. But
it would have changed.
And I think that God had to stretch me that, okay, you thought you wanted this. Now it's in your hand. Do you really want it? And so that was a growth process to me, that you do have to be open to change. And sometimes we say we are, but when it presents itself, you have to look at it and really stay open to that. So sometimes following God is a process of opening yourself up to the change that may occur.
And sometimes, a lot of times, at least for me personally, but I also think it's happening for us as a couple, is God just wants to say, I think sometimes God just wants to see if we'll say yes or no, you know, because He said yes or no. You know, I think sometimes it's a challenge that he says to us, did you really mean what you said?
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll open the door and then he'll close it. And it's okay. But let's get back to a couple principles. So we've talked about prayer, and we've seen how that prayer, we get answers. We listen in prayer. So it's a two-way conversation. The Lord brings things to us that we share with each other. There are many mornings when I say to Linda, thank you, we just had church, you know, and it was true church. I mean, it was a two-way thing. God speaking to us and us listening and him listening, you know, all those things. So as a principle, I would just encourage couples to don't be afraid of prayer. You know, don't judge each other. Allow the person to pray the way they pray. It'll change. God will morph it and fix it and teach you to listen as much as you talk. Practice it, even if it's just 5 minutes.
And it's been remarkable how, to me, that morning, we kind of have that morning ritual of prayer and kind of catching up with each other about, you know, what's going on in our lives. But just practicing that, I feel like, has helped us to mold our marriage and become one.
Yeah, because at that time, not isn't just prayer time with the Lord. It's also catch-up time where I go, okay, how do you see your day? Is there any, are you looking forward to it? Would you rather take, a beating? Would you rather be at the dentist for a root canal? You know, and then I know where Linda is on the stress meter or on the challenge meter or whatever, and that becomes part of our prayer, you know.
Or so, where you are, if you're having some adjustment to be made. It's just really being able and not neglecting praying for your partner.
Yeah.
Even when I love War Room, you know, how the older lady was helping the younger woman to, you know, when you're having difficulty with your partner or when you're in a period of difficulty, that is the most powerful time to lift your partner up in prayer.
Amen. And it is the best, most powerful tool we have to support each other.
There's no doubt about it.
And people talk about it in the abstract sense, but I'm telling you, and we're telling you, we know it's the most powerful. So that's one. The second one is trust. I believe the best about Linda. So that means if she's an hour and a half late for something she said she thought she'd be there at 1 and it's 2:30, then I don't have to go into that self-talk in my mind about how inconsiderate she is and how she doesn't care about me and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All those things, and our enemy comes in and fans the flames. I can now go, you know what? I love my wife. She loves me. She's not being obstinate. She's not being vindictive. She's not punishing me for something. She's just late. That's a trust issue.
Well, and then, you know, setting it up that, you know, if it's something that we are trying to be on time a bit, I do try to do that. But sometimes it's like we're going, like I said, going to a movie or whatever. But and I may be with a client. Sometimes I'm working. Sometimes I'm just at home, I have to say. But, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where I cannot get there on the time that I thought. But it's not about beating each other, but it is about that trust factor of there may be a reason.
Believing the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just an illustration. I don't want to beat that dead horse.
Yeah.
It's just an illustration. Here's another one. She said she was going to buy the groceries, but here I am, and she did. Now, I could go back to, well, she's selfish, she's mean, she's inconsiderate, but Linda is none of those things. And I know she's not. So I can nip that poor self-talk in the bud and go, I don't know, it doesn't matter. We'll do the grocery shopping tomorrow. It's not a big deal. We'll order Chinese.
And I think it's really about being flexible when you're with a partner in you know, whatever your time frame was or how you did things in a certain way when you were single, that now that you have to be open to be flexible.
Yeah, and that's a good principle. But again, and forgive me, Linda, I just want to make sure I'm trying to share something I think is so crucial, and it's that always believing the best and not letting, frankly, your flesh or whatever term you want to use convince you that your partner's against you. She's not. If she was against you, she wouldn't have married you in the first place. We're for each other. We're pulling. We're our each other's best cheerleader. And so when something doesn't go the way I thought it would go or should go or whatever, I don't have to go down that path of that poor self-talk that says my partner is trying to hurt me. You know, no, never, ever. Not deliberately.
I think a lot of people, you do have to, not only for as yourself as a couple, but as a personal thing, what is your self-talk, you know?
Amen.
What are you, because a lot of things, times the enemy will put ideas and thoughts in our mind, and you know how I am with this radio program. You can go over the years and see that I have so many other spots on, you know, the power of the words that we speak and our thoughts. And a lot of times I think that's why it's mentioned in the Bible, to catch your thoughts, to catch those thoughts that come in your mind. And as a couple that will, well, he's selfish, he didn't do this, or, you know, he gets angry about this or whatever, is to catch those thoughts and ask, is this really true?
Yep.
You know, and
if,
when you go into that cycle of, is this really true, or is this an instance that I'm in the flesh, he's in the flesh, sometimes you just have to allow some time to pass to bring that. If this is something that you feel like it comes up and it's something you need to discuss, don't discuss it at a time when you're both in a agitated, angry state,
yeah.
But pick it at a time when you can communicate and communicate fairly. And, you know, each person come with honesty and not, you know, one playing against the other or woe is me, but coming together as two powerful individuals,
well,
trying to solve a problem.
Here's a perfect illustration, at least I think it is, you know, we all have baggage.
Mm-hmm.
We have past experiences. And our current experiences may look like those past experiences, but you can't go by the past experiences. You got to, you know, go by with the person you're dealing with. So yeah, it does feel like something similar. My wife is not playing a game. She's not trying to manipulate me. She's, you know, she doesn't do that. But I can nip those thoughts in the bud and say, no, not true, not buying it, not going there. You know, and that's reality. That's a real step for you guys. So we're starting to run out of time. So let's kind of summarize. The show's going to change. Dave's going to kind of run with it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that statement. We are going to try to do regular Sunday 6 p.m. show so that everybody knows when they can dial in and talk to us if they want to. Linda will be there sometimes, and a lot of times she won't. It'll be just me or a guest, you know, and we'll make this work. So that's that. And then on the marriage piece and how to adjust, I would just leave you three really, really good things. Pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And don't make it hard. Just sit down and talk to each other and share those things with God. And then listen. He will answer.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you insight. One of the greatest things that in my life, and Linda's too, is, and we're not spring chickens. You know, we're in our late 50s. And we've been walking with the Lord a long time. I'm still learning how to listen,
mm-hmm.
how
okay.
to hear when he's talking. That's one. The second one is, believe the best. Trust each other. Know that your partner is for you. If you get that if you put every issue and problem in that context, that they're not just being obstinate and mean and ugly, you know, it'll make a huge, huge, huge difference. And then maybe the biggest one and the most important one is, make God first. you know, choose your goals and your desires within the advancement of his kingdom. That's the best way I know. And your marriage will prosper. I believe that. We call it getting patted on the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, I look at Linda and something has happened, something good. Or, you know, well, let's just say something good. And I said, Linda, do you realize the Lord just patted us on the back? And she goes, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. That's his approval. That's how we know sometimes that we are in his will. And it's not necessarily a material thing. Sometimes it's just a good feeling. You know, I look at her and she looks at me and I go, did you feel that? And she goes, yeah, I did. And usually it's during prayer time. Well, we both have just heard and felt God's approval. That's a wonderful feeling.
It's great. It's awesome. Undescribable.
So I guess we can wrap it up with that. Anything else you want to say?
Not really. I think you did a great job. Again, we just like to invite you to future shows where we are just empowering ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
Yeah, and feel free to contribute. We mm-hmm. really want your input, your thoughts, if you've got topics, if you've got format changes you might want to suggest, we will listen. And we'll take those to the Lord and we'll try to hear where he wants to go. But really, and call in, I'd love to hear what
you think.
Leave
comments on the show. We will be looking at those comments. You know, you can leave email through the show. There are emails here through the show. But also we have www.powerfullyyou.gmail.com if you wanted to leave a comment, a suggestion, a concern. We'll go through those as we can.
So until the Sunday after this one, we'll say goodbye. And then we'll be back on the air at 6 p.m. on that Sunday. I'm sorry, I don't have a date in front of me. And we're going to try to be really, really regular. So have a great week.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.